This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.
Hello, listeners. My name is Natasha Sega, and you're tuned in to another edition of Nation Talk Interviews. Today, we have the pleasure of being joined by Chief Wallace Fox from the Onion Lake Cree Nation. How are you doing today, Chief?
Good, Nick. And yourself?
I'm not too bad at all. Thank you for asking. I know it's a very busy time over there, so we'll go through this. And just to start, maybe if you can tell a little bit more about yourself for our listeners and your time so far as Chief of Onion Lake Cree Nation.
I've just been reelected this spring. I've been involved in politics since 1982, I think, or 83. Pretty much most of my life, I've been in leadership as a council member and as chief. I was 21 years old as council and 25 as chief here in 86, I believe, or 87 term. And I've been in council and chief since that time. Probably 8 years I've been away from politics altogether in the last 30 years, so quite a long time.
Some great experience, and I'm sure you've been able to utilize that experience. And, of course, Onion Lake has accomplished some amazing feats with regards to advancing its community. Maybe if you can elaborate a bit more on some of your strategic priorities over the years of Chief.
Well, back in the early 80s, the nation, through the membership, support and endorsed, first of all, to take control of education away from the Department of Affairs. Back then, for example, just when we took control, employment was in bus drivers and janitors, basically. And now, with a student enrollment of over 1,200 kids, nursery to grade 12, fast forward to 30 years, there's about 80% First Nation Aboriginal teachers, 20% non-Aboriginal in our school system. We have four schools. One school we funded on our own, realizing the need and the time that it takes in the bureaucratic process of federal government. The nation took it upon themselves to build a Cree immersion school and administration and post-secondary all in the same building. And so that is one in itself. We couldn't wait for the government. Where our people drive the agenda. We present our plans, our mission, and then the vision I've always had for our First Nation is to become a self-sufficient, independent nation. And I believe we're just about there now. It took us well over 30, 40 years to get to where we're at. Some of the developments we've done over the years, for example, we're the only First Nation at the time, and I believe in 1996, 98, that we established our own federated gas co-op, Onion Lake Gas Co-op. We use our natural gas. And our band members are trained and licensed to install the lines and the meters. And we don't pay Sask Energy or Alberta Energy our utility bills. Our commercial residential bills are paid to Onion Lake Gas Co-op. For the listeners, Onion Lake is one of the First Nations, probably the only ones in Western Canada, that straddles the border. Part of their nation is on the Alberta side, and so we have some challenges there at times. So we built our own gas utility. We have our own lumber company here, supply company on reserve. We have our trucking company, fluid hauling business. We're basically from the heavy oil side. We haul all the oil, sand, water, fluids for the companies that are drilling and exploring on our land. We also were the first ones to create an energy company and assign the licensing and exploratory permit on Indian land to our Onion Lake Energy Company, which is 100% owned by the nation, who then farmed out with various different companies to do the actual drilling. The key behind that is that we always maintain the control of the drilling activity, the environmental legislation that we're looking at today internally to create that. We're looking towards our own governance system now. First, it was education, training, employment. Many of our senior managers and administration have gone to post-secondary and have come back to our nation. There's over 5,600 people registered in our Cree Nation here.
That's a point that a lot of on-reserve Aboriginals are concerned about, is if they leave, how would they be received back on their reserve, of course. And so it sounds like you've offset that negative stigma by ensuring that they have the best opportunities, and not only the best opportunities, but many opportunities as well. And it brings me to one point as well, if you don't mind, we can get into the economic development a little bit more. But I know you touched upon that you have your own funding, essentially, for some of your own schools, which I'm sure is a model that most communities would clamor for. So we all know the youth are an important part of Canada, and especially the Indigenous communities. We are known to be the fastest growing demographic under 25. So it sounds like your community is doing lots to ensure its youth have the best opportunities.
Well, yes, we are doing that. And right from the outset, when I was in politics, the elders have always insisted upon, the elders have said that the future is the young people. And your job as leader in chief is to prepare and pave the way for them so they have a future. And as a result of this, the success that we have, many First Nations focus on economic development, focus on different strategies. What we've been able to do, and this is one of the challenges we've had, we have to look at the social, the economic, the education, the governance, all at the same time. And we try not to leave anybody behind. And it demonstrates that, for the simple fact that 6 years ago there was a waiting list of 250 people for homes, for example. We since built over 270 homes on reserve, many of that with our own resources, our source revenue. Now, people, we have a different problem here, not so much a problem. Many First Nations that I know and have traveled across this country extensively, they have their First Nations people migrating into the urban sectors because of homes, jobs, and opportunities, and so on. And I realize that, and I appreciate and respect the fact that many of the First Nations don't have the resources available at their disposal to create those opportunities. But in our case, we've sent our kids, we've sent our young people, go out, finish your education, get a degree, come back. Our job is to help create opportunities. And again, we don't turn our people away. If there's opportunities for them for employment, once they get out there and get their post-secondary degrees and training degrees, and whether it be vocational, technical, we welcome them back because it's an investment on our part. And also, we want to ensure that they become role models for the younger generation. And so we have, instead of people migrating back, the point I made about the 250 home applicants, now we solved that backlog, but now there's 500 applications, and many of them are from off-reserve. People are coming home now because of the opportunities on the First Nation that we've created collectively as a team.
Such wise words from such an amazing leader. So thank you so much for finding time, Chief Wallace Fox, for us. What I'd like to now finish with are just a couple of where should our listeners go for more information, whether they're a corporation who maybe wants to get in touch with Onion Lake Cree Nation, or whether they're just simply needing more information as well, too. Where can they go? And also maybe some last words for the listeners.
Well, you can Google Onion Lake. We're upgrading our website and www.onionlake.ca. We'll look at our website. Our director of operation is Winston Walking Bear. The phone number is 780-847-2200. And my executive assistant is Dolores Chief, same office number, and the emails you'll find on the webpage. Our Business Development Corporation CEO is Jeff Ross. Again, that's all the information will be on the Onion Lake webpage. So this is one area, one of the things. And lastly, I'll say, Nick, if you don't mind, is we've been plugging away at this, working away on our own. Well, we've always believed internally that we have to do this for ourselves. If we wait for government, we'll be waiting and waiting and waiting forever, and nothing will be achieved. So we took it upon ourselves many years ago to look at all areas. What is the area that's going to create revenue for our nation? And what is the areas that we need to look at? So we've identified those. So we take that initiative. And as long, and I want to say this to the listeners, especially our First Nations people, I've come to understand in 30 years of leadership, as long as the federal government vis-a-vis Indian and Northern Affairs, and I refuse to call them with their new name because I disagree with that change in itself. And that's another story. As long as the Department of Indian Affairs provides those contribution documents for Chief and Council to sign every March of fiscal year, they will always control the First Nations chiefs and councils and the leadership and the membership of each nation. What I believe and what we will achieve is we will no longer need to be able to be on their beck and call, because again, as a sovereign nation that entered into treaty with the Queen, we want to retain, and we believe that we are going to retain that sovereignty as a nation. However, that does not mean by having saying all this, we're getting the federal government off the hook. There will come a time when we'll have to sit across the table from the federal government and say, look, these are the resources for the last 30 years we've invested on our own. We believe that this right to education, this right to health, and so on, this is the responsibility of the government to ensure that the treaties have been implemented, which they haven't done from the first day they were entered into. So we need to break that mold, and by breaking that mold, we step out of the box, look at the big picture, look outside the province, look outside Canada. That's what we're about. So my point and message is this. We need to get out of the thumb of Indian Affairs funding as it is, according to their rules. We need to develop our own resource revenue agreements. And this is where we're heading towards as part of our long-term plan in Onion Lake Cree Nation within Treaty 6 territory.
There you go, listeners. For those out there who may doubt it's possible, Onion Lake is a community that's showing self-governance and also economic growth through growing its own community and creating opportunities for its own members is something very possible, and not only possible, something that they've done now for many years. So make sure to check out their website at www.onionlake.ca. So thank you very much again, Chief Fox. Appreciate your time, and I'm sure we're going to be chatting lots in the future because we want to keep up to date on the incredible feats. Chimiigwech listeners.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.